9 years ago. Cal stumbled into the surgery room, the open door letting in bright white sunlight. At 10 years old, he was already showing signs that he would be tall and lanky. He'd always preferred Cal to his full name, Kaladin. The shorter name made him fit in better. Kaladin sounded like a light eyes name.
I'm sorry, Father.
Cal's father, Liren, carefully tightened the strap around the arm of the young woman who was tied onto the narrow operating table. Her eyes were closed. Cal had missed the administration of the drug.
We will discuss your tardiness later. Close the door.
The windows were dark, shutters firmly in place, and so the only light was that of the stormlight shining from a large globe filled with spheres. Each of those spheres was a brome. In total, an incredible sum that was on permanent loan from Hearthstone's landlord. Lanterns flickered, but stormlight was always true. That could save lives, Cal's father said. Cal approached the table, anxious. The young woman, Sani, had sleek black hair, not tinged with even a single strand of brown or blonde. She was 15, and her free hand was wrapped with a bloody, ragged bandage. Cal grimaced at the clumsy bandaging job. It looked like the cloth had been ripped from someone's shirt and tied in haste. Sani's head rolled to the side. She wore only a white cotton shift, her safe hand exposed. Older boys in the town sniggered about the chances they'd had, or claimed to have had, at seeing girls in their shifts. But Cal didn't understand what the excitement was all about. He was worried about Sani, though. He always worried when someone was wounded. Fortunately, the wound didn't look terrible. If it had been life-threatening, his father would have already begun working on it, using Cal's mother, Hesina, as an assistant. Liren walked to the side of the room and gathered up a few small clear bottles. He was a short man, balding despite his relative youth. He wore his spectacles, which he called the most precious gift he'd ever been given. He rarely got them out except for surgery, as they were too valuable to risk just wearing about. What if they were scratched or broken? Hearthstone was a large town, but its remote location in northern Alethkar would make replacing the spectacles difficult. The room was kept neat, the shelves and table washed clean each morning, everything in its place. Liren said you could tell a lot about a man from how he kept his workspace. Was it sloppy or orderly? Did he respect his tools, or did he leave them casually about? The town's only Elethonathele clock sat here on the counter. The small device bore a single dial at the center and a glowing smokestone at its heart. It had to be infused to keep the time. Nobody else in the town cared about minutes and hours as Liren did. Cal pulled over a stool to get a better vantage. Soon he wouldn't need the stool. He was growing taller by the day. He inspected Sani's hand.
She'll be all right. A surgeon needs to be calm. Worry just wastes time.
It was hard advice to follow.
Hands.
Ah!
Cal hopped off his stool and hurried over to the basin of warm, soapy water by the door.
Why does it matter?
Wisdom of the Heralds. Deathspren and Rotspren hate water. It will keep them away.
Hammy says that's silly. He says Deathspren are mighty good at killing folks, so why should they be afraid of a little water?
The Heralds were wise beyond our understanding.
But they're demons, Father. I heard it off that Ardent who came teaching last spring.
That's the Radiance he spoke of. You're mixing them again. The Heralds were sent to teach mankind. They led us against the Voidbringers after we were cast from heaven. The Radiance were the orders of knights they founded.
Who were demons?
Who betrayed us once the Heralds left. They were not demons. They were just men who had too much power and not enough sense. Either way, you are always to wash your hands. You can see the effect it has on Rotspren with your own eyes, even if Deathspren cannot be seen.
Liren walked over to the table again, bearing a tray lined with knives and little glass bottles. His ways were odd. Though Liren made certain that his son didn't mix up the Heralds and the Lost Radiance, Cal had heard his father say that he thought the Voidbringers weren't real. Ridiculous. Who else could be blamed when things went missing in the night, or when a crop got infected with digger worms? The others in town thought Liren spent too much time with books and sick people, and that made him strange. They were uncomfortable around him, and with Cal by association. Cal was only just beginning to realize how painful it could feel to be different. Hands washed, he hopped back up onto the stool. He began to feel nervous again, hoping that nothing would go wrong. His father used a mirror to focus the sphere's light onto Sani's hand. Gingerly, he cut off the makeshift bandage with a surgeon's knife. The wound wasn't life-threatening, but the hand was pretty badly mangled. When his father had started training Cal 2 years before, sights like this had sickened him. Now, he was used to torn flesh. That was good. Cal figured this would be useful when he went to war someday to fight for his High Prince and the Light Eyes. Sani had 3 broken fingers, and the skin on her hand was scraped and gouged, the wound cluttered with sticks and dirt. The 3rd finger was the worst, shattered and twisted nastily, splinters of bone protruding through the skin. Cal felt its length, noting the fractured bones, the blackness on the skin. He carefully wiped away dried blood and dirt with a wet cloth, picking out rocks and sticks as his father cut thread for sewing.
The 3rd finger will have to go, won't it?
His father nodded, a hint of a smile on his face. He'd hoped Cal would discern that. Liren often said that a wise surgeon must know what to remove and what to save. If that 3rd finger had been set properly at first, but no, it was beyond recovery. Sewing it back together would mean leaving it to fester and die. His father did the actual amputation. He had such careful, precise hands. Training as a surgeon took over 10 years, and it would be some time yet before Liren let Cal hold the knife. Instead, Cal wiped away blood, handed his father knives, and held the sinew to keep it from tangling as his father sewed. They repaired the hand so far as they could, working with deliberate speed. Cal's father finished the final suture, obviously pleased at having been able to save 4 of the fingers. That wasn't how Sani's parents would see it. They'd be disappointed that their beautiful daughter would now have a disfigured hand. It almost always happened that way. Terror at the initial wound, then anger at Liren's inability to work wonders. Liren said it was because the townsfolk had grown accustomed to having a surgeon. To them, the healing had become an expectation rather than a privilege. But Sani's parents were good people. They'd make a small donation, and Cal's family, his parents, him, and his younger brother Tian, would continue to be able to eat. Odd how they survived because of others' misfortune. Maybe that was part of what made the townsfolk resent them. Liren finished by using a small heated rod to cauterize where he felt the stitches wouldn't be enough. Finally, he spread pungent Lister's oil across the hand to prevent infection. The oil frightened away rot spren even better than soap and water. Cal wrapped on clean bandages, careful not to disturb the splints. Liren disposed of the finger, and Cal began to relax. She'd be all right.
You still need to work on those nerves of yours, son.
Cal looked down.
It's good to care, but caring, like anything else, can be a problem if it interferes with your ability to perform surgery.
Caring too much can be a problem? What about being so selfless that you never charge for your work?
He didn't dare say the words. Cleaning the room came next. It seemed like half of Cal's life was spent cleaning, but Liren wouldn't let him go until they were done with it. At least, he opened the shutters, letting sunlight stream in. Sani continued to doze. The winter wart would keep her unconscious for hours yet.
So, where were you?
With Jam?
Jam is 2 years your senior. I doubt he has much fondness for spending his time with those much younger than he.
His father started training him in the quarterstaff. Tian and I went to see what he's learned.
His father just continued, wiping down each of his surgeon's knives with alcohol, then oil, as the old traditions dictated. He didn't turn toward Cal.
Jam's father was a soldier in Bright Lord Amaram's army.
Bright Lord Amaram?
The noble light-eyed general who watched over northern Alethkar. Cal wanted so much to see a real light-eyes, not stuffy old Wistio, a soldier, like everyone talked about, like the stories were about.
I know about Jam's father. I've had to operate on that lame leg of his 3 times now. A gift of his glorious time as a soldier.
We need soldiers, father. You'd have our borders violated by the Thalens?
Thalena is an island kingdom. They don't share a border with us.
Well, then they could attack from sea.
They're mostly tradesmen and merchants. Everyone I've met has tried to swindle me, but that's hardly the same thing as invading.
All the boys like to tell stories about far-off places. It was hard to remember that Cal's father, the only man of second none in this town, had traveled all the way to Carbranth during his youth.
Well, we fight with someone.
Yes, King Gavilar always finds people for us to fight. That much is true.
So we need soldiers, like I said.
We need surgeons more. Son, you nearly cry each time someone is brought to us. You grind your teeth anxiously during even simple procedures. What makes you think you could actually hurt someone?
I'll get stronger.
That's foolishness. Who's put these ideas in your head? Why would you want to learn to hit other boys with a stick?
For honor, Father. Who tells stories about surgeons for the Herald's sake?
The children of the men and women whose lives we save. That's who tells stories of surgeons. There are two kinds of people in this world, son. Those who save lives and those who take lives.
And what of those who protect and defend? The ones who save lives by taking lives.
That's like trying to stop a storm by blowing harder. Ridiculous. You can't protect by killing.
Liren walked over and gave him a gentle look.
What are the properties of winterwort?
Bitter taste, which makes it safer to keep since people won't eat it by accident. Crush it to powder, mix it with oil, use 1 spoonful per 10 brick weight of the person you're drugging. Induces a deep sleep for about 5 hours.
And how can you tell if someone has the fiddlepox?
Nervous energy, thirst, trouble sleeping, and swelling on the undersides of the arms.
You've got such a good mind, son. It took me years to learn what you've done in months. I've been saving. I'd like to send you to Carbranth when you turn 16, to train with real surgeons.
Carbranth?
That was an entirely different kingdom. Cal's father had traveled there as a courier, but he hadn't trained there as a surgeon. He'd learned from Old Vaith and Shorshbrunn, the nearest town of any size.
You have a gift from the Heralds themselves. You could be 10 times the surgeon I am. Don't dream the small dreams of other men. Our grandfathers bought and worked us to the second none so that we could have full citizenship and the right to travel. Don't waste that on killing.
Cal hesitated, but soon found himself nodding.